Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Michael Cohen here with producer Desi Simmons, just turning 6:09 here in Lansing. On today's program, Governor Snyder unveiling his plan to fund repairs and upgrades to the state's crumbling infrastructure. And just like many of his proposals, it also includes some big changes. We'll talk about exactly what he has in mind. And cyber schools, supporters say they're great, but do they really provide the same quality of education of traditional schools? I'll talk to the author of a new report on these new schools, and because they may soon be expanding right here in Michigan. But let's begin with Occupy Michigan. It's part of the nationwide Occupy movement, which seems to be losing no steam as people continue to gather across the state. But with no clear leadership or clear position on the issues, where exactly is the Occupy effort really going? To talk about that, I'm joined by John Robinson, who's involved in the Occupy Michigan movement. Welcome to the program, John.
Hi, thank you for having me, Mike.
Now, you know, I've talked to someone from the Occupy Lansing and the Occupy Detroit movements, and I'm usually left with more questions than answers. For those who see the occupiers as a group of people milling around who may view the movement as essentially calling for anarchy, what would you say is the common cause that brings folks together?
Well, as a whole, the Occupy movement is against the money corruption of our democracy, and it's bringing decades of increasing inequality and inequality into the spotlight. The participants are mainly protesting against social and economic inequality, corporate greed, and the powerful influence of corporate money, major banks, and lobbyists on government and the democratic process.
Now, when you're there at these Occupy events, what's the sentiment? I mean, what are people wanting to see happen? Do they want to see the government stepping in and taking money away from these corporations?
Well, most of the people, they're just looking for reform, in a sense. I can give you an example. Mm-hmm. In 1928, the richest 1% made 23.9% of America's income. And after that, it steadily declined. In the 1970s, it was about 8 to 9%. But since then, it's been rising. And in 2007, it hit 23.5%. When most of the gains come from economic growth, when they go to a small group of Americans at the top, the rest don't have enough purchasing power to buy what the economy is capable of producing. And so what this has resulted in is, you know, an absurdly high unemployment rate, which has been, you know, sitting at about 9.1%.
It seems that the Occupy movement has resisted taking a political form or involving political leaders directly. Is that something that you expect to change, or is this approach of essentially not really taking any direct positions on specific issues going to remain the same?
I'm pretty sure it'll remain the same. What the Occupy movement is right now, it's essentially the purest form of democracy. And what many critics don't understand is that the reason why the movement has not defined a set list of demands, for example, as a whole, because it's creating what it is as it progresses. The movement utilizes, like I said, the purest form of democracy through these general assembly meetings within each city. And it's precisely the reason why nobody will be able to pinpoint exactly what or where the Occupy movement will be in the future, but what most of the protesters do have in common is that we all have a similar set of grievances, like I mentioned previously, and the reason why it's growing at such a rapid rate is because more people are realizing that this is the time to stand up. This, you know, our forever hold your peace, so they say.
Well, you know, look, most Americans definitely agree with the sentiment of this vast inequality that we have, and but ultimately, you know, they go to work, they provide for their families, and I don't know if they really have a direct affiliation or sense that they have a lot in common with those in the Occupy movement. How do you address that fact that for the vast majority of Americans, even if they may understand your position, ultimately they live within the reality of having to go to work and having to support their family?
Well, like many people say, you know, they could always be next. And once you see that your friends and family, they're beginning to lose their homes, their jobs, and, you know, they're moving on to food stamps and welfare, for example, then eventually they become a little more empathetic to the movement as a whole. So.
But isn't this really ultimately an issue with our political leaders and not with the wealthiest? I mean, the wealthiest... you know, have made it to this to the level they have on working within the system that we have. I mean, isn't it up to the political leaders to either change the tax code or take any other types of actions to, I guess, make things a bit more equal?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Part of the blame is towards Wall Street, but ultimately the core problem does fall back in government, and what we really need is a reform of policies, but what we're all aware of is that this reform is tougher to achieve because politicians continue to serve corporate interests.
I'm talking to John Robinson, who's involved in the Occupy Michigan movement. So tell me, how are all these different Occupy groups within Michigan, how are they interconnected, or are they? I mean, we've got Occupy Lansing, Jackson, Detroit, and then, of course, Occupy Michigan. Do you guys have any communication between the groups?
To an extent, it's actually behind the scenes. It's fascinating how organized it's become. I'm from Ann Arbor, and we've been having General Assembly meetings every Thursday. And what they've been doing, for example, there hasn't been a big Occupy Ann Arbor movement yet, but what they have been doing is organizing carpools to Occupy Detroit and Occupy Lansing, which are the biggest movements in the state. So there isn't necessarily too much interconnectedness. That's kind of what I'm trying to do with OccupyMI.org, to an extent, is, you know, help it serve as a more unified movement and provide just an information source for, you know, people searching to learn about the movement. They could just go to OccupyMI.org and learn about all the different cities, but no, there isn't too much interconnectedness as of now, but I wouldn't doubt that it'll happen within the near future as it continues to progress.
I mean, it doesn't look like the public, I mean, even though we see these images on TV and read articles about the movement, it doesn't look like the public has really had a very strong reaction to the Occupy movement other than those that are occupying themselves. Do you agree that, at least at this point, there's really not much of an effect from the Occupy movement?
At this point, it could be larger, of course, but what I think a lot of the mainstream media, when they're not ignoring the Occupy movement, there's definitely a lot of criticism and a lot of misunderstanding of what it's really representing and what all these people out there stand for. So I think that while, you know, some people may be skeptical at this point, as it continues to grow and probably affect government policy, at least in the upcoming 2012 elections, I think it'll continue to gain support, as I think it has. It's up to at least 40% of support from Americans who have been polled about it. So,
look, one last thing. At least from the outside, there definitely is a sense from a lot of people that watch these Occupy demonstrations that we're looking at a group of people that really, if they're unemployed, they should be aggressively looking for work. And otherwise, it almost looks like there's a demand for to be given something. I mean, rather than going out, working, earning a living, wherever it might have to occur, in whatever job that a person may have to take, especially for young people who are beginning a career, you have to compromise on what you have available to you and what you want. And some people view these demonstrations as a bunch of people that aren't really doing enough for themselves. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would agree that there are some, you know, with any group and any protest, there are unreasonable people and reasonable people, but a lot of these people have been consistently searching for employment for, you know, some months, some even years. And, well, that's exactly, you know, the problem of the recession, that it's the economy isn't getting better and there's just simply aren't enough jobs for people to, you know, to accommodate all of the people. So,
Now, one last thing. Look, it's getting colder now. What's the prognosis, or what do you expect to see happening with these Occupy movements as we get into November and December?
Well, the Detroit movement, for example, it's actually continuing to grow, and a lot of the supporters have been saying that they don't intend to leave anytime soon. So I think that it may be a little tougher to be out there, but I wouldn't plan on them leaving anytime soon. They've already gained a lot of momentum with the movement nationwide and even across the world now. So,
John Robinson with the Occupy Michigan movement, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.